Blog Talk Radio.
Monday evening. This month is our anniversary month. We're 5 years old this month. Where has the time gone? That's for sure. But we like spending our time with you, our Eastern family, and friends. This is our 240th. Get that now, 240th broadcast. We have truly become the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. Our listening audience is over 550 countries around the world and an average of nearly 1,000 listeners every week. We hope you'll be part of our show and participate if you can. For those listening to the broadcast on the computers, all you need to do is to call us on 213-816-1611. And it will put you on Neil's producer's board, telling us what's on your mind or adding to the subject being discussed. Remember, unless Neil has opened your phone connection to join the live conversation, you'll need to press number one on your phone's keypad to join in. For those who cannot listen in on a computer, you can still hear and participate by calling the number you just heard. That's 213-816-1611. Also, keep in mind that your telephone microphone picks up any noises that might be in the background. So please make sure you mute your telephone or keep as quiet as possible during the broadcast. Just as a reminder for those waiting to listen to our show live every Monday at 7 p.m., you can connect by going to www.ealradioshow.com. Or you can also connect with the show at our sponsor's website, www.repaonline.com. That's the site of the retired Eastern Pilots Association. Let me repeat the phone number of the show again. 213-816-1611. Also, is a reminder for the end of each show, time permitting, we will have selected songs called the Eastern Music, or music we grew up with while working at Eastern way back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on. So So make sure you hang around shortly after the show to listen to selections by our producer. Steve, are you there? Hello, Steve.
Well,
you know, how about cranking up that R2800 and let's see the show rolling down the runway?
Okay.
Yeah, hang on just one second, Neil. We got to get the fire bottles in place.
Okay, Steve, we got you back, and you must have been looking for a fire bottle.
Yes. Okay, I see them pulling the fire bottles up now, so let's go ahead and crank up the R2800 and get the show rolling down a runway.
You know, this might be the last time we hear that R2800. We're about to wear it out. So many episodes we've been starting that engine. So next show, I guarantee you, we're going to have a new engine start. But let's
you guys know they make dead engines, don't you?
Yeah, well, we're making one for you, Chuck, so you can maintain it. We can keep it going for a while as long as we have the R2800. So let's
there
start the R2800 one more time. Here we go. Clear prop.
Clear. I smell that exhaust from where I am right now. You know, we haven't introduced our hosts in a while, so let's introduce those that I can see here with us tonight. How about Steve? How are you doing?
Hi, Jim, and hello, listeners, and welcome. And it is not a pretty day here in the mountains of North Carolina. It's been raining all day long, and the temperature's been in the low to mid 50s, and it's New York style weather, which we're not happy with at all. And we're now looking at Florida weather, so, and we're interested in that very much right now. So, George, are you there? No, because his weather is probably worse than ours.
You're not in New York right now?
I don't think George was on our...
How about Frank? Are you there?
Frank? Frank says north. I don't guess Frank is with us. He's been kind of under the weather like I am right now. But Steve...
Okay, who's this? Is this... Huh? Okay, how about Jill? Are you there?
I'm here. And I have to say that Steve's been telling the truth. But I have to say I'm snuggled up on the couch in great of a fireplace and enjoyed myself tremendously.
Oh, we envy Steve. You. We envy you, Jill. How about Cecile?
Well,
are you still with us?
Now
Cecile, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, and it's 80 degrees in Florida, and it's beautiful skies. Back to you, Jim. I think, Jim, you have the same weather, don't you?
Yes, pretty much. Although, you know, we have not yet had any rain today. We could see the clouds in the distance, but thank goodness it's not here yet. Don, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tell us what's going on in your area.
Same thing, it's clear here in about 85, 86, a little bit of a breeze. If I can take a minute or two, just trying to change the subject, I wanted to bring everybody up to date on something that happened years ago called the Eastern Travel Club, ETC. That originated in 1967, and it went until 1972. It was an association coordinated with res, travel agents, tour operators, and, of course, hotels. And Young and Rubicon Advertising did all of that for us in New York. There were reps in cities like New York, Miami, San Juan, Freeport, West End, Nassau, Mexico City. And there were other cities involved where Eastern flew, but we did not have reps there. The only time the reps went down to those cities if there were large groups of 100 or more. The functions and the responsibilities of the ETC reps were basically to greet members in, at the hotel or airport, bring them to the hospitality suite at the hotel with the greetings, explain and review the package that they purchased at that particular hotel. And then that first evening, we had a cocktail party for them, a welcome cocktail party. Those were always very good. You know, some days were long, 10 to 15-hour days, and that depended on the flight schedules, you know, different flights, different hours. But it was a good job. If there were large groups in other cities, we did go there to help out with the other reps. The main responsibilities of the rep was to ensure that our members were happy and enjoying themselves. In the slow season, a lot of us would come into the States and do work in convention sales and the passenger sales, help out with the sales reps and get involved with some of the hotel associations and so forth. And that's about it. It was a good job. It didn't last only about 6 or 7 years, but it was fun. It was a fun thing to do. Neil, next week I got a fish story for you.
Okay, we'll take that fish story, and perhaps we can do one also with George if he share a fish story. But thanks for the report, and I guess the weather and everything is good there in your area, Boynton Beach. And Jim, I can't think we have another couple of people that are with us. And Chuck, I think you're. Go ahead. I turn it back over to Jim.
Go ahead, Chuck. It's yours.
Well, we're right now we're at 75 degrees and mostly cloudy. We did have a little rain today. We had a high of 88, and it looks like we're going to get some of that cold weather down there from you guys. And then it looks like it's going to be a low of 54 this coming Saturday. So we're going to have to get out the flannel PJs here. And the birds are back. The snowbirds are really dropping down like flies over here. And I guess all 30,000 of them will be here by next month, because you got to have a rain check from the summertime to get on the golf courses today. So that was our checkup for the day. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Chuck. We had, I reminded about Don and his talk about the program involving a lot of Eastern sales reps. I'm reminded of my time back in 1962 or 63. One of my clients up in the Hartford Springfield area was Les Toil. Remember Les Toil when the blob of thing walked across the screen and they put an eyedropper on it and the blob disappeared? Well, Les Toil was one of my accounts, and Bill Massey was the sales manager of Les Toil, and I called upon him. And I said, Bill, what could I do for Les Toil? He said, Jim, I'm looking for an airplane that will carry 90 of our top salesmen all across the United States to Bermuda. We want to be there and have a beautiful 4 or 5 night stay. Can you arrange that? I said, hey, you're talking to the right guy. Do you know we arranged a 90-passenger DC-7, and we got those guys to Bermuda, and of course, one of the requirements was that Jim Hart go with the group. And of course,
what a shame.
I didn't object to this at all. And you can't believe we got there at the I'm trying to think of the name of the hotel. It wasn't Myrtle Bank, but it was
Hamilton Beach.
It was a real old hotel, and in fact, when we got there, I saw the guys, the salesmen, standing up to the cashier's window, and they were cashing $100 checks. And poor Jim, with not much of an expense account, and only with about $50 in my pocket, I said, you know, Bill, I don't know if I can play this game. He said, come on, Jim, they're all expecting you. Well, do you know, I got up there, and I could not believe it. I was getting straight flush, royal flush. I got cards that I never even knew were there before. And the guy was saying, Jim, are you a shill? I said, no, my name is Jim. Would you believe, we at the end of the evening, now we're talking about playing cards from about 10 at night until 4 or 4:30 in the morning. I got up at the table, and I had $600 in front of me. And so Bill Massey said, hey, Jim, you're going to take my wife and I out to dinner when we get back home, aren't you? I said, you're damn right. Well, I tell you, we got back to Massachusetts. I did take Bill out, he and his wife, out to a wonderful dinner. And you know what? I put it on my expense account.
Okay. All right.
So I didn't lose a damn thing that night, but we had one terrific ball. Chuck, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
You want to tell us any more about the Villagers? What's going on there?
Well, we've just had a couple of Oktoberfest. We got finished with those, and now we're getting ready to go into the holidays here with coming up. So we have parades here, and our golf cart parades will be in 2 weeks. We just had an old car convention here in one of our circles that we call village circles, and there must have been at least 200 old cars there, and it even had Corvettes like mine. That's about it, bringing you up to date on things that are happening at the Villages.
Oh, that's great. Jill, I think you've told us about everything up your way. Do you have anything else?
Are you talking to me, Jim?
Yes, ma'am. Do you have anything else to contribute tonight?
I sure do.
Hey, Jill.
You know,
Jill, let me back up. You know, sometimes, folks, our script, we must drop it on the floor and then pick it up, not page by numerical page, but one page, and then maybe three shows up, and then maybe five and six and two. So I don't know where we are in our script. I don't even know why we even write these darn things. But at any rate, I think we're right. I'm just dying to tell everyone that I've got a horrible cold, C-O-L-D. And the only good thing about my cold is that at night I can put myself about an ounce of NyQuil, and I put a little ice cube in that NyQuil, and I put a cherry, and that's my cocktail for the evening, and it does wonders for a cold. So let me recommend that, folks, for you. But here in Ponte Vedra, Jacksonville, St. Augustine area, we've got a cool front coming through, and I think it'll be cool, like Chuck said, and we have rain. But we need all the rain. I'll never complain about rain. But that's where we are. Jim, I think we are on page three. And at this point, I would like to pass my part over, because I'm rapidly losing my voice, over to Steve. Steve, would you say the next little paragraph there?
Yep.
Yes, I will. I will, Neil. And we want you to get better quickly. And Jim, I'd like to direct everyone's listening to our website, www.ealradioshow.com, where you can find a report by Dorothy Gagnon about the reunion. Also, while there, take a look at some pictures that are now coming in from folks at the reunion and posted on, in a special photo album found under the page titled Photo Album. As we get more pictures and videos, we'll post them on this page. Now, let's see what's happening to the various departments of our airline. Chuck, do you have Chuck's toolbox open with any recent news?
Well, I have a follow-up news, not we discussed this before, about the Metrojet Flight 9268, which was the flight that had crashed out into the desert out there. It was a Russian A321-231. It carried 224 people. We had discussed last week, we had wondered why the tail of the airplane was 30 miles, I believe somebody brought this up, I didn't, but away from the crash site. Now we know through the newscast that the plane indeed was sabotaged by ISIS with a bomb in the rear baggage compartment. So that would explain why the separation of the tail section of the airplane was so far away, because obviously that's where the bomb was located. It's going to be interesting to see what the Russian government's going to do about changing their attitude about helping us out in the situation over there with these ISIS people. It's a shame this happened, and things like this are terrible no matter what country you're involved. So that's the latest on that one. One of the other things we had brought up that could have happened was with the fuel system, but with the other airplane was leaking fuel and caught on fire in Fort Lauderdale. And I saw a little blurb, and it looks like there could be a maintenance problem. So I'll try to keep track of that this week and see if I can bring you up to speed next week. So that's all for Chuck's Toolbox.
Thank you, Chuck. One of the things, I guess, that we're all concerned about is holiday traffic. And of course, people overseas travel like we do here in the United States. We're so concerned, and we're hoping that they find a solution to this problem. We're so close to the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. I'm wondering, Jill, do you have anything else you'd like to contribute?
Yes, I do. And this has been going on for quite some time, how people are being removed off of flights. And if you're a kind human being and use your best skills at being nice, you will not be rejected off of flight. With stories that these in the news, it's hard not to see how some people might come to the conclusion that airlines get a thrill out of kicking passengers off of the airplane. Seriously, let's think about this for a moment. The only time I had someone removed from an airplane was in the spring of 1969. It was just after a big snowstorm in New York, and I was called out to take a flight to Puerto Rico on a DC-8. As we were boarding the flight to head back to Kennedy, a sweet little lady informed me of another passenger sitting several rows behind her that he had a gun underneath his raincoat. I had to determine if this was true. Once I saw the weapon, I went to the captain and reported it. The police were called and removed the man from the airplane. There was a young, newlywed couple on board as all this was happening. The young wife was screaming, "Police brutality!" as the man was being removed. I turned and looked at her and asked one simple question. Do you want to go to Cuba? The look on their faces was priceless. Not another word except for please and thank you for the rest of the flight. I was 20 years old, and I had still not completed my 6 months probation. Flight attendants have the power to what? Ask you to fasten your seatbelt or stow your bag, to hand you a drink. What kind of power is that? When I think of a job with power, I think of the police. Now, find me a policeman who feels power over 150 people with no more than a drink card. If you think flight attendants are on a power trip, then you must have a very comfortable life. You should be grateful. I'm the one causing you so much anguish. See, the one handing you a Diet Coke, the very same one whose entire job is to keep you safe from point A to point B. In between, I'll do whatever I can with the tools I have to provide to make your flight comfortable. As a flight attendant, I don't even get to make the choices to throw someone off the airplane on my own. The captain on the flight has the final call. It's his plane. He decides who goes and who stays. This happened to me many years later on an A300 flight from San Francisco to Miami. A couple boarded and had the last two seats by the L4 door. Not long after we took off, we could see the female abusing her travel companion. We alerted the crew and the captain of the situation and continued to monitor. By the time we were halfway through the flight, she had begun to pull his hair out. The captain and the crew also were kept aware of the situation. We literally had him move himself to a flight attendant jump seat for most of the duration of the trip. Right before landing, we brought him back into his seat so the flight attendant could be in her position. We asked him if he wanted to have her arrested once on the ground, and he said no. Security met us at the plane, but because of his refusing to acknowledge her brutality, all they could do was follow them through the airport. Nobody wants to throw anyone off an airplane. Nobody wants to take the blame. Nobody do all that paperwork and go in on the day off to explain what happened to a manager, and that is what we have to do. I can't think of any one colleague who wants to go viral with a video on YouTube or see their face in a story in the New York Post. But most importantly, calling the authorities to kick off a passenger will cause a delay, and delays cost airlines money. And nobody wants to cost the airlines money. Do we do that one too many times, and you're without a job? And that's kind of my report for this evening. Hopefully, people will understand that it's nice to be polite.
You know, Jill, the last couple of 3 weeks, it seems like we've had so many incidents about airplanes, and I've noticed that a lot of them are American Airlines reporting that the airplane landed short of its destination to take someone off the airplane. And we did that last show, and some of the reasons were absolutely unbelievable. People are getting weirder and weirder. I don't know where the moon is on some of these flights. And I guess that's why Eastern called the Moonlight Special. Remember the old Moonlight Special flights that we used to have?
I sure do.
And I saw some weird, weird people on those flights, believe me. And I even refused to allow one person that was sprawled out, completely unconscious, in the waiting area to board the airplane. And I asked the gate agent, is the guy dead? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I'm not going to kick him, so let's just not let him go on with us. So he didn't get on that airplane. So but we got some weird folks, and I guess they're still doing that. Sorry, folks, for my voice, but that's the way it is. Jim, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Neil. A new report from the favorite playground of Eastern Airlines is given to us by Don Gagnon. Folks, Don covered the Bahamas for many years with Eastern. Perhaps he can tell us a story or two. How about it, Don? Go ahead.
Well, I just gave you an update on the functions of the Eastern Travel Club representatives, and I was going to tell this next week, but I could probably tell you now. One of the groups that I checked in, it was in Freeport. I had made a deal with one of the sport fishermen guys, had a huge boat, that if I had any people that wanted to do some sport fishing, I would give them a card to give to him. They would give them a 10% discount. That was the best I could do. Two couples decided they wanted to go sport fishing. Well, they invited me along. And, gee, I was so busy, but I went anyway. So we're out in the boat, and the first thing that happened, and these gals had never been out fishing. One gal caught about a 50-pound wahoo. took her about, I don't know, 30 minutes to get him in. And a half hour later, her husband got into a sailfish, and he was in the chair probably close to an hour. And the captain, Gary Simmons, he was trying to keep the boat where the stern was facing the fish so it wouldn't get caught up in the prop. They have a tendency to go under the boat, you know. But that was a fish story that it was really true, the one that did not get away. By the way, the sailfish was about 7'6" long. It was quite a good-sized fish for a sailfish. But that's the only thing I can think of other than what I just gave you earlier.
John, Don, I've got a comment to make. I didn't know that Eastern had a category, a job category, such as the one that you had in the Bahamas.
Yeah, we were a grade, it was either 93 or 94, which was, it was a good step up from an agent's pay. And like I said, when we were slow, we used to come into the States and do work with convention sales and stuff like that. So
we kept us
busy, you know.
So every once in a while you put in some work, but most of the time you had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good. I met a lot of nice people, too. Had a few problems. We got rid of them.
I'm just joking. I'm sure you did a great job for Eastern Airlines. Jim, back to you.
Okay. Thank you. It's always good to hear from our flight department. And I know that Steve has a number of things that happened to him while he was in the air. Steve, can you tell us some of those things?
Yes, thank you, Jim, and it is always interesting to remember the things that happened in the flight department when I was participating in the management area. We had many, many issues that came up with pilots and flight crews, and we were always interested in getting issues resolved in the earliest and in the easiest possible moment. We had discussions and pilots who were trying their best to fulfill their flight department issues, and it was always a very interesting and enlightening resolve to get the pilots in their qualifications as quickly as they possibly could. And that's the report from the flight department from right now.
Steve.
And Jim, back to you.
Well, Steve, I've got a question for you.
Hey, Jim.
I've often wondered, excuse me, Steve, I've often wondered, I went through a lot of training sessions, both as second officer, first officer, and captain. And I often wondered, I did pretty good. It seemed like I only had one issue, and that was resolved quickly. Like you say, the training department was more likely to resolve these issues that a person has as quickly as they possibly can. But I've often wondered, how far does a company go? I know one captain that we had that they gave him every opportunity to fly a DC-7. And you probably recall who I'm talking about. But the guy, and I flew with him. I flew with him on the Convair 440. And he went on up to check out his captain on the DC-7. And on the DC-7, they gave him an engine failure right at V1, right before at the decision speed. And he kept on going. And then they gave him brake failures and all sorts of things. And he just could not pass that check ride. Finally, I think my good friend Gib Guerin worked with him, Captain Gib Guerin, and he got him through. But he could not possibly pass the Electra, which that was the next equipment he moved up on. He could not go up on that airplane. He just couldn't understand it. And so he went back down to the DC-7 because he had his rating on the DC-7. But you guys, seems like to me the company, Eastern, the whole training department went over backwards to try to get these people to keep their job, to stay with the airlines, and to help them every way possible. And I know the check captains that I work with, giving me my rating rides, they were tremendous people with the help that they wanted to give you during your time that you were scheduled and any time after that. You got any comments about some of the people you work with and what I just talked about?
Yes, Neil, I do, and I remember the individual that you're talking about. And on this particular rating ride, he had an engine failure, simulated engine failure, just prior to the V1, which is a speed at which, if you pass this speed, that you continued on your flight. But he indicated that he was freaking out because he lost the engine and he could not stop the airplane, and he could not keep going, and he didn't know what to do. And he said, "Oh my God, I can't do it. I can't stop. I can't handle this. Stop this thing. Stop this thing." And it was a situation where he didn't know what to do, and it was sad.
Well, the best I recall, when he finally went back to the Constellation, he went back to the Connie flying days, and after that, he couldn't check out on any other piece of equipment, and that was the end of his career. But it wasn't because Eastern did not care. Eastern cared to try to keep him in the airplane, and I don't know, when you stop to think about it, is this the right thing to do? Because here is a person that's very marginal, and even though it's a different piece of equipment. But when it came to a technical advanced airplane like the Electra over the props and the jets that followed, he just couldn't handle it. So it was the end of his career with Eastern. But we won't mention any names, but Steve, you and I know who it was, and that's my discussion for tonight.
You know what, guys? The same thing happens on the ground. Sometimes people that work on the ticket counter or the gate dealing with the public, they really aren't that good at it. They're just not geared for it. But the company placed them like down in flight ops or up in ramp tower or someplace where they could just deal with their own people and not the public. And, and the company was very good about that, as far as I know anyway.
Yeah. I would imagine just about all departments, and it was Eastern especially, that they couldn't find a spot here, or you couldn't handle it here, that there might be another position somewhere else.
Exactly.
Neil, Jim Graybill.
Hey, Jim Graybill.
I had a situation with, I'm sure you probably know who this is too. He was trying to check out as captain, on 727. And the company, I had to fly with him one entire month. I was sitting on the right seat and trying to guide him on. And he just never knew what he was going to do. He never did the same thing twice. And anyway, the company wound up giving him something like 260-some-odd hours on the line with a check captain, and before they did anything, he finally retired. But
I know you
understand.
About.
Understand he was rehired when the
airline cranked back up.
Strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But
we
the company really we all I can't think of a number of check captains that rode with him. But, we all tried our very, very best to ease him through and get him going, because he had a serious problem at home.
Yeah.
His wife had cancer. And 260 hours, that's a lot of time in the air.
Yeah, it sure is. Wow. And this was this back during the days, Jim, when we did our flight training in the air?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was in Atlanta, of course. And, of course, all the bases, they had flight training in the air.
Yeah,
even the 727, we did stalls in the air. We did steep turns in the air. We did engine failures in the air. This was not in the simulator, folks.
Hey. Sitting
in an air-conditioned room. This was in the air over Atlanta. And those were the fun days, as far as I can remember. Those were the fun days for me.
Yeah, they sure were, Neil. I was absolutely thrilled to death and glad to be a part of it.
Yeah. Any other great talk?
Yeah, Neil, this is Vito.
Vito, would you bring us up to date?
Yes, I want to report to you also, I heard this evening on the news that Concourse B in Miami was shut down because of a suspicious package. And that was at 6 o'clock this evening. Everything was shut down. So I thought maybe I'd let you know about that. That was just this evening. On the other note, on this past Saturday, we had our picnic, and we had a wonderful time. We had 150 people there. Ed Weigel showed up with his wife. We had a grand time. He also mentioned the fact that we'll be getting another airplane soon, so that'll be number four coming up. So that's the latest that I can tell you.
Well, thanks, Vito. I'm sorry I couldn't be there.
I know, Jim. Well, we kind of missed you, but we did have a wonderful time. We had a beautiful weather, and everything was real well.
Great, great.
Well, Vito, I hope you don't mind, and Jim, I hope you don't mind, but Dorothy has put together a brilliant report, as she usually does, about that the picnic that you had down there. And so, Dorothy, if you don't mind, would you describe what went on during picnic?
And Vito, we certainly did have a good time. The successful era picnic was hosted and celebrated by the staff of the Eastern newspaper at the C.B. Smith Park located in Pembroke Pines in Florida. The pavilion picnic shelters, as they are called, are all numbered so you can locate the one you desire easily. Once we entered through the park gate, we were guided to look for the pavilion hired by era, which was new and in between shelter 10 and 11. Era nicely provided era signs to lead in the way. I had a laugh because it was a sign reminded me of the fairy tale where Hansel takes a slice of bread and leaves a trail of breadcrumbs to follow. But, you know, it was a great idea, Era, and believe it or not, a great help with so many lookalike pavilion shelters.
Yeah, that's true.
As we entered the park, And you know, as we entered the parking lot where you had the Era picnic, the aromas from the grill located at the back of the entrance of the pavilion were divine. The incredible aromas were coming from the pavilion where Eastern retirees were greeted by Marie, your wife, and Vito, you were there when Donna and I walked in, and Florence Wolf. And you both were registering, or they were registering us at the desk, and they also gave us, which was a surprise, two free door prize tickets. I didn't expect that.
Okay.
The main buffet was outstanding. There were bread baskets and potato salad, coleslaw, and then you moved on to hot chafing pans where they had a food staff plated delicious barbecue ribs, chicken, and baked beans. Our thanks to era secretary, we understand Bob Murphy suggested the barbecue ribs, and we want to thank him for that. They were terrific.
Okay.
But that wasn't all, folks. The next table had more. It had more chafing pans with cheeseburgers and hot dogs, all kinds of sides. It had sauerkraut and hot barbecued onions and peppers, along with different condiments. And I also had dessert, which, of course, that's my specialty, consisted of chocolate frosted brownies and two large serving platters, of delicious baked cookies. Then on the outside of the pavilion, there were coolers arranged in a row with all kinds of soft drinks and water, and at the back of the pavilion, a table of coffee was set up for serving any time you wanted. But wait, what is a picnic without a barrel of cold beer? And one of the food staff served a cold beer to any retiree that desired one. The food was outstanding and plenty of it for seconds and even thirds, making a wonderful picnic for Eastern retirees.
Thank you very much.
We also were honored with the presence of Ed Weigel and his wife Susan, as Vito said. And they told us about the Hartley building being demolished and that by the end of next year they have about 7 airplanes.
That's right.
He said also, Vito, which we thoroughly enjoyed, once he gets a flagship and is able to schedule a route, he says that you and he will work on getting us passes.
That's correct.
With a great hand of applause was extended to you and to Ed Weigel and his wife for joining us. Then, Vito, you called the Eastern retirees to order to announce the ticket numbers for the 50-50 raffle, along with the president of ERA, Mike Zoll. Winners came to the front, and Mike and Vito gave out three cash prizes to the winners. In addition, there were many other door prizes presented with Mike Candling announcing the winning numbers while Vito gave out the prizes. Isabel Rodriguez, one of the ERA directors, was at their side taking all the winner names down for the ERA Keeping in Touch newspaper. Wow, there were great prizes and happy winners. The New Eastern Group contributed to the door prizes, I understand, for a round-trip airplane ticket for two, along with Vito getting many contributions of free-pass airplane tickets for two on different types of planes to different destinations, and that was outstanding.
Thank you.
That was really great, Vito.
Other door prizes consisted
of Vito giving away the Wings of Man book written by Roland Moore and Vito. And we want to send our thanks to Ed Weigel, president of the New Eastern Group, to Vito and to Roland Moore, who's the legal advisor to the executive committee, for their generous contribution to the door prize. We also want to thank the secretary, Bob Murphy, who was in the back of the pavilion handing out the prize winners at ERA T-shirts and ERA hats that they won. Door prizes were immensely appreciated by all winners. Then we had Philippe and Isabel Rodriguez, who worked at Miami. Isabel worked at Miami. They built that mock-up Boeing 737 Eastern airplane that they had at the Pioneers reunion, and they brought that with them for people to take photos with. And so we want to thank both Philippe and Isabel for their great undertaking and for bringing that with us for everybody to enjoy. And lastly, I would like to say that we have a genuine, heartfelt thanks and appreciation for all of you at ERA, your officers, directors, committee members, to Pat Sorrentino for special and annual events like the picnic we just enjoyed, to volunteers and to the many people there at the picnic that I don't know or that my husband, Don Gagnon, who was customer service planner in Miami, hadn't introduced me to make this picnic possible with their assistance, as well as with all the other ERA-sponsored events that happened. So we do appreciate all of you, Vito. Thanks so much.
Thank you very, very much. You did a great job. Thank you. Thank you.
I was going to ask you if you approved of that report, Vito.
I beg your pardon?
Did you approve that report? Was it a good report?
Fantastic. She did a wonderful job. Thank her very, very hard. Bottom of my heart. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Vito, I bet you'll have twice the number that you had this year. You'll have next year, and we hope the same with the Pioneers reunion.
I hope so. It looks
like a great time, and looks like the advantage of all of this, Vito, if you would agree, I think that it's going to be toward the New Eastern Airlines because
all of these things are really promotions.
To the New Eastern Airlines and to let the New Eastern Airlines know that all of the pioneers, all of the EARA members, the radio show members, the REPA members, the Silver Liners members, all of them, I'm wishing them well and hoping them for the best success.
Ed Weigel thanked them personally for all their wonderful support.
He thanked everybody
that was there, and he appreciated everything that they've done, and we're off to good spirits anyhow. Thank you.
That's great. That's super. Well, now you've heard it, folks. We hope to come back with you next week with a different format. Not that our format hasn't been good for the past 240 episodes, but we want to come up back with some new programming, and we have some new help. And so in the future, we hope this coming 241 episode, to the Flight 241, as we call them, will be a little different. And we hope you'll tune in next week to listen, see what the difference is. And we're always here to talk about Eastern, our favorite subject, and that's what we'll always talk about. Sorry, my voice has not been too good to listen to tonight. But I'll still talk about Eastern unless I have no voice at all, and I've had that only one time in my life that I couldn't talk.
Well, Neil, take two Tylenol and call me in the morning.
Okay, Dr. Vito.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you so much, folks. And that's about all we have time for tonight. So we'll listen to our favorite sign-off music, which, Jim Hart, will you sign us off? Jim Hart, are you still with us? Well, Jim, maybe Jim left a little bit early. And I hear that Good Night song by Lawrence Welk. We've been playing that for I don't know how many years now. We might even change that next week. But we hope you have
Neil,
enjoyed
this is Steve. May I sign this off?
Yes, Steve, would you please?
Yes. Gee, golly, this has been just a great show tonight, and folks, Mr. Producer, another outstanding show. You know, it's always fun when we talk about Eastern Airlines and the place we worked. We feel we've truly earned the title of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines, and it's all because of our callers, listeners, guests, and hope. Now, we hope that you'll listen in again next week when our episode 241 departs the gate on time at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, we say...
Good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern family.
Good night,
Eastern family. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, all.